Welcome to East Meets West, episode 132.
132.
I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger C.
Back to the Roger C, are you?
I'm lazy.
Yeah.
I can't enunciate the rest of my last name.
Did you note that
that
we are still in the staff picks on iTunes?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That means they haven't gone through the staff picks.
He assured me, Scott at iTunes assured me that we would be there for the rest of our lives, which I took to mean that he was probably going to kill me soon.
So wait a minute.
I took it as a threat upon my
life. Is he the only staff when they
say... No, there's two. Scott and Pete. Actually, there's third. There's a guy in London.
Scott, Pete, and...
So, three.
That's cool.
I don't know. Maybe they could. I mean, there's a big iTunes staff. Maybe they
that's
pull
what I'm saying.
From the iTunes staff. Well, but those are the only two guys who do podcasting.
But that's what I mean. Like, from that iTunes staff picks.
Yeah, it could be. It could be all the iTunes staff. That's
so
true.
So we could have more fans than just those potential.
But you know what it did make me do? Because it says unknown, and it had the goofy Beware the Happy Specialist graphic. It made me go into FeedBurner and tweak the settings for iTunes so that hopefully our real East Meets West graphic will propagate. And maybe instead of unknown, it'll say Roger Chang and Tom Merritt.
How come it doesn't do that already?
Because I'd never set up FeedBurner that way.
Oh, okay.
There's iTunes-specific tags you have to have in your XML. And FeedBurner...
Does it have to start with iTunes and close with iTunes?
Yeah, some of them do. Some of them are iTunes.
You can't just make one generic iTunes tag and thing. Then do nested tags within it to have it all go into iTunes?
No.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
No, you can't.
Okay.
That's not the way it works. It doesn't really matter. For me, all I do is go into FeedBurner and I fill in a bunch of forms, and then FeedBurner does all the work, so what do I care?
Just curious. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was such a touchy issue for you.
I'm not upset. Why are you making a big deal?
Because your tone has changed. Of your voice.
Man, we're like an old married couple now. It's just your tone.
Are you saying I'm prone to bouts of emotional swings?
Yes. Why can't you be more logical, Roger? So as we record this, Gustav is still offshore, headed towards possibly New Orleans. Actually, the last trajectory I saw had it heading a little west of New Orleans, which would be good.
But it'd be hitting Texas.
Still, well, no, it wouldn't be hitting Texas. It would be hitting a little farther west in Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
But it would still not okay. Well, yeah, and it would still cause a major surge New Orleans. So, which could.
This is still
proved to be very dangerous.
This is the litmus test to see if any of the lessons that were learned after Katrina have sunk in. And
well, already some lessons have been learned because Mayor Nagin got on there and said, "Get out.
Yes.
Get out of town now. If you don't, you will regret it. We have buses. We have trains. We have ways of getting you out. Get out now. If you stay, it's your own problem. We're not keeping any emergency services personnel here. We are not opening up the Superdome as a shelter. Everyone's leaving. So if you don't leave, it's on your own head." And I thought that was smart.
I thought he just said, like, there would, you know, that if you stay, you're accepting responsibility of yourself and
yeah,
whatever.
That's that's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. He used not all the words that I just used, but say, if you don't leave, it will be the biggest mistake of your life. So he was being very forceful.
Well, it'll be interesting because he was criticized heavily after Katrina, along with
as was the state and federal government
It was pretty much across the board blaming.
Now, so far, all the state government has done is opened up the interstates to one-way traffic, so that the opposite lanes can be used by cars to leave as people are heading out of New Orleans. They're leaving about 50, I think I heard, 50 city workers in the city.
Well,
that's just emergent, you know, just to maintain certain things. I'm sure some companies are leaving a few people on site just to monitor.
Well, not all the levees have been rebuilt either.
No, not all the levees have been rebuilt, although the major ones have been rebuilt. They're on TV and they showed the one by the Ninth Ward has been rebuilt. It's not finished, but it's been rebuilt. So the question is, if it broke, is that a problem that it was designed improperly, or is it just that they hadn't quite finished it yet? You know what I mean? Like, it's up. It goes 9 feet into the ground, and it's solid, but they haven't finished all the little details that you need to do.
Well, we'll see. It's also interesting because the Republican National Convention also is occurring around.
I should say, any of our, if we have any listeners down there in Louisiana, Alabama, Texas area, anybody that gets hit by this, that we hope you're okay, and we hope you weathered the storm well, and that you can continue listening to us in the future.
And make sure you stock up on all the supplies like clean water, first aid. Batteries.
Yeah, they by the time they hear this, yeah. They probably have already done that.
It's true.
If they're going to. But yes.
You know, it's one of those. What's
if
of
you're
those
not in that area, now it might be a time to look into your emergency stores.
I mean, that's true for any region.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
whether it's earthquakes, tornadoes, thunderstorms, ice storms. You know, there's pretty much no region that is free of all types of natural disasters.
National disasters.
National disasters. Oops, slip of the tongue. Speaking of. Politics.
So
they canceled President Bush and Vice President Cheney's speeches already.
Yeah. Now, where's the actual convention at?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
All right. So, I mean, it's one of those things that's kind of like, I mean, they're pushing it back, and it remains to be seen what kind of fallout effect it will or will not have.
Yeah. It's sadly crass and real politic to say, but what happens when the storm hits is going to have a big effect on the Republican nominee. If that storm hits and people die and things go wrong and we have another, you know, even partial disaster similar to Katrina, Republicans are going to suffer for it, whether it's their fault or not.
Of course.
That is just unfortunately true. The other thing that's going to happen is no matter what happens, and let's say what I prefer to happen, which is storm kind of peters out, hits New Orleans, minimal damage, everybody's fine. Republicans might get a slight boost from that because it will prove that the current administration, which is Republican, has learned from the mistakes. But it's going to take a lot of attention away from the convention. The Democrats got a nicely choreographed week where they had a star speaker every night. Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Bill Clinton. Republicans aren't going to have, they're not going to have that nicely choreographed hit every night. Their schedule's going to be messed with a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, in some respects, the Democrats, you know, got off onto a good foot. Realistically, I mean, just from the clips I've seen and the analyses I've read, both just editorials and op-eds and actual AP stories and stuff, it really feels like they were preaching to the choir. So whether or not that made converts of
that's always true of conventions, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, really, I think it's kind of how, and this is very important, how McCain separates himself from Bush. So it's more like, you know, instead of being like a Bush light, where, you know, okay, there's a disaster.
Or Bush NA. I hate either one of those.
Bush NA?
No alcohol.
Oh.
That was out for a while.
Anyways, thanks for derailing me, Tom. Essentially, you know, Bush, you know, really kind of acknowledged the disaster of Katrina pretty late. I mean, you know, in terms of political timescales. So McCain already has kind of mentioned, like, you know, I think it'd be kind of inconsiderate and crass to have the convention while you have this potential.
Well, and they went down there. Sarah Palin, his vice presidential nominee, and he went to New Orleans.
And he's being proactive. And
they go to New Orleans or they go near New Orleans? I can't remember exactly. But they were down on the scene in that region anyway.
Being seen as being more proactive, I mean, you know, McCain and Bush are ostensibly from the same party, but he still needs to separate himself, showing that his maverick credentials as, you know, the Republican that's willing to do things that maybe aren't within his party's best interest because he believes that they are better as a whole for society.
One of the common criticisms of McCain that I've seen recently is that he has been changing some of those maverick qualities. Democrats are leaping all over that, of course. But that he is, you know, he's changed his policies on a couple of things.
Yeah, and it's it is worrisome, but it's, for me, it's not surprising, because even Barack Obama has been doing that, and it's how you wiggle toward the middle. I mean, that's they're walking
in the primaries. You got to be to play to your extremes, yeah. and in the general election, you have to play to the middle.
But as we all know,
as Roger and I know from many campaigns.
Yes, our unsuccessful bids for council seats. But as Tom and I know, I mean, throughout history, it's shown, you know, talk is cheap. It really matters.
I mean, look at this podcast, for instance.
It is.
You
it's really cheap.
You didn't pay a thing for it.
Except for the electricity.
Except bandwidth, yeah, and electricity.
And time.
Mm-hmm.
You could have been working.
Can't get that time back, can you?
No. Unless you find it.
What do you think of Sarah Palin?
I was kind of surprised. It seems...
pretty.
I think you could... you're already married, Tom.
So I can't say anyone else... I could say someone else is pretty, can't I? Yeah, see? She said fine.
She rolled her eyes when she said that, though.
I think she's rolling her eyes at you.
Oh, I see. See, when Roger can't see it, she's not rolling her eyes. But when Roger sees it, roll...
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, former beauty queen. Obviously, I threw that out there to get it, because that's one of the things, like, ooh, he picked her because she's pretty.
Well, see, that's the thing. You can either be a real cynic about it and just say, hey, it's an obvious ploy to get women, and conservative women at that. Or you can,
right, because she's evangelical. She's a pro-lifer.
Yes.
She's a gun toter, a lifetime NRA hunter? Member, and a moose hunter.
Yes.
Enjoys moose burgers. Actually pretty cool in some ways.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, see, that's the thing, though. I mean, cynically, you can say, yeah, it's just a pandering kind of toss to that undecided electorate that, you know, would have gone for Hillary, but now there's another female VP candidate.
I can't imagine that, and I've heard this said by many pundits, but I think it's true. I can't imagine there's a ton of Hillary supporters who share the same values as Sarah Palin.
I mean, I totally agree, but it's one of those things that if you were a cynic, yeah, that's, you know, okay, it's a bad choice or a bad way to do it, but it's still kind of what they're trying to do.
When I first read up on her, I thought it was an incredibly smart choice because she has stood up to the Republicans in Alaska, conducted many ethical investigations, rousted out some Republicans from office, was instrumental in bringing Ted Stevens to come forward on his ethics scandal. The one scandal that there's two scandals actually.
There's
now.
One related.
The one major scandal that they've been able to try to pin on her is that she may have fired the guy who oversaw the state troopers in Alaska because he wouldn't fire a trooper who was harassing her sister. It was an ex-husband, as I understand it, right? I think it's a pretty lame scandal as scandals go.
Yeah.
Sounded like, from what I've read, the guy probably deserved to be fired anyway. So
there
might be some conflict of interest there, but it's not a thing. And the other one that's going around, which I think is totally without merit, is that her latest baby isn't hers. It's actually her daughter's, which I don't think's true. And even if it was, who cares?
I mean, that's a thing at this stage of the game, and it is a game. That's what the party faithful do for each side. It's like when you side with particular sports teams or your particular idol favorite on American Idol,
right?
Or whatever.
It does become a little bit of a sports match. So you got to go back and look at her experience, which is one thing she's being attacked on. Her experience is actually pretty amazing in one way, which is she's a journalist by training,
mm-hmm.
just decided to run for city council, got elected. Did very well, was very popular with the city, became mayor of the city, and then went straight from mayor of a town of 6,000 to be governor, rousted out, as I said, all of these ethics violations,
and
has spent 2 years as governor of Alaska. A smaller population state, granted, but certainly a complicated state.
Well, it's also pivotal in that a lot of energy companies, specifically petroleum-based ones, have a huge amount of influence because the stakes are so high, and she made a force, she essentially made it so that, you know, Alaskans would no longer be literally at the whim of the drilling companies in terms, in terms of actual revenue that gets back, because Alaskans get a percentage
right.
of oil revenues because that was part of the deal originally when they...
To encourage population in Alaska.
Encourage population at the same time making sure that... When the oil profits came out, it didn't go out of the state.
Yeah. Now, so there, I think that's a fairly even-handed assessment of who she is. The question remains, does that make her qualified to be the president of the United States, which is the vice president? Is a heartbeat away, and especially if you're John McCain's running mate, he's not wishing the guy any ill, but he has had healthy problems, and he's in his 70s, so it's not unthinkable that something could happen, and she would end up president. I don't know, man. That's very, very small amount of national experience. That's very localized experience. Not saying she's not capable of running the country,
but I mean, you could.
But there's two parts of your question there. When you're it's like. Well, is she capable of running the country, which is questionable? And then do you agree with her on her beliefs, if you think she is?
I don't know.
And her beliefs are, they're kind of all over, not all over the place.
You could say roughly the same thing about Obama. I mean, he's had no real...
He's had less experience than a lot of people. His experience has been on the national stage, which is his one advantage. Yeah. He's been in the Senate. He's been in Washington. He knows how it works. And he's got... Joe Biden backing him up, who has a lot of experience in a lot of foreign policy. You're right. Obama has got that experience problem. I think it is disingenuous for people, and this is what the Republicans have been doing very smartly, which is anyone attacks Sarah Palin, they answer by attacking Barack Obama's experience because he has less experience. This is just a personal assessment. I value the experience that Obama has slightly more than I value the experience Palin has had.
Honestly, for me, it's a toss-up. I really think both of them are really new in that. And I think, especially when you deal with foreign policy, like you brought up Biden, which makes sense, as a VP. But in terms of...
You got a lot more foreign policy experience in the Senate than you'll get in the state. Not that he's got a lot, no matter how you look at it. At least you have the standing to... meet with foreign dignitaries, talk with them, be around the policymaking. You're not going to be around a lot of that in state of Alaska. The other thing don't forget is Obama's got, I think, 6 years of state government experience under his belt. She's only got two.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, those are degrees instead of major. Like, it's different to say like if someone had did a stint as an ambassador and then, spent,
Well, if you're talking particularly about foreign policy, you're right.
Or things on
it's a small degree.
I mean, that's not to say that Obama is unqualified. I just think that in relative terms, I think they're in my perspective, they're roughly kind of the same in terms of experience dealing with not only a national but also a foreign policy agenda that they would have to do.
I disagree with national. I think foreign policy it is a smaller discrepancy, but I think on the national level, Obama has a lot more experience than Sarah Palin does, simply because he's got 6 years in the state government and he's got 4 years in the national. She has no national. So I mean, again, it's small. For either one of them. And McCain is the presidential nominee, not the vice presidential nominee, if you're looking at that.
Well, they could also play it as Quayle. I mean, Quayle was picked and he...
That's the thing. We may right here be making too much out of the vice presidential nomination simply because who thought Dan Quayle wouldn't hurt George Bush more than he did? A lot of people thought it was a devastating pick. And it ended up not really being a
big deal at all.
His political career has gone nowhere since then.
But he's offered a huge amount of material for late night. Was it the 4 years that he was in office?
And I think Palin has got more going on upstairs than Vice President Quayle did.
Quayle was just, it was kind of like a standee, like a cardboard cutout you put in.
I think you really, because she's the vice president, I think this whole experience debate is really going to be a wash. The Republicans are going to answer every accusation of Palin's experience with an attack on Obama's. They're going to make every conversation about that be about both, like we just did here.
Exactly.
And I think that the Democrats likewise are going to do the same. Every time Obama's experience comes up, they're going to bring up Palin's, and they're going to try to make that a conversation about all of it.
Really,
which in the end, I think it's going to be a wash. And I think as a citizen, and this is where I want to do what I wish the news would do more often, you have to look at the policies of the presidential candidates.
I totally agree.
And then once you've figured out what, where you fall in the policies, then consider the leadership abilities and the experience.
Which is, I mean, that's the thing is, like, a lot of these reports essentially just regurgitate verbatim all the things that both parties spin out, which is very kind of, I mean, even the pundits, even the analyses that they do are really kind of thin.
What gets me is when the analysis is 100% predicting what the analysis will be tomorrow based on what we saw today, which is so navel-gazing. There is a place for that. There is a place to say, like, you know what the spin is going to be is this. But sometimes you watch these shows and that's all you get is well, the spin tomorrow is going to be this. That, to me, is mostly useless. What I want to hear is what I hear more often from Bill Bennett. I hear it more often from David Gergen. I hear it fairly often from Carl Bernstein, which is, this is what he just did. This is what it means, and if you're a voter, this is what you want to take out of it. And that's why I respect those guys on the CNN side of stuff more than a lot of the other contributors that they have.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I was just like going, if you go through the foreign press and you read their analysis, it's actually kind of eye-opening because most of them take it from a perspective, what does this mean for our particular country? And it's interesting, even though Obama...
And we don't do that.
Oh, I know, but it's hard. It's different.
And
when
we're the country that will be most affected. Anyway, but you were saying.
For example, in Europe, I mean, one of the big platform pushes for Obama is to have the European allies contribute more, or at least do more, in places like Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read some of the opinion and some of the stories that come out, like, say, Germany and stuff, it's very interesting because what they worry about is, like, well, you know, it doesn't matter who changes in office, the policies that are already set in motion will continue. So whether or not, you know, Obama is or is not elected, the policies regarding Afghanistan and Iraq might change, but they're not going to drastically change. They're not going to veer 180 degrees. They're going to veer maybe 5 or 10 degrees to either side.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a couple of them basically, you know, don't expect too much. You know what I mean? It's great to get caught up in the whole Obama. I mean, yeah, it'll be easier to work with someone who's likable and not so stringent, but at the same time, it's like you can't expect the moon. You know, just a complete day-night reversal once Bush is out.
I've been going through quite a bit to those sites like glassbooth.org and looking through this is what the McCain camp says, this is what the Obama camp says. I wish they'd get Bob Barr up there. They have Ralph Nader up there, which I'm like, why start with Nader? I mean, he's a third-party candidate, great, but I think he's a much lesser candidate on the third-party side than Barr is. Barr gets mentioned a lot. This year, I don't think he's going to win any electoral votes or anything, but his name keeps coming up. I think that's interesting. Anyway, when I look at the Obama and McCain, what I see is my differences with them are not on those national policies as often as they are on the more domestic issues.
So the foreign policy as opposed to domestic.
Yeah, foreign policy. I mean, they have differences, but they're not that important to me. They both wanted to withdraw from Iraq. McCain says 2 years later than Obama. Fact is, both of them, when they get in office, will change those numbers based on the intelligence they get once they become president.
Based on situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they both support the death penalty, which I don't. McCain is more pro-life than Obama. I think Obama is technically pro-choice. There's a couple other, like, medical marijuana issues. You know, then you start getting into issues like these. McCain is against gay marriage, and Obama has come down for civil unions, but against gay marriage. So,
I mean, but even at that, if you notice, I mean, their differences are beginning to kind of meld because, I mean, you're dealing with you need to deal with everyone's concerns, and you can't just play to one particular group because you're never going to get elected.
Shall we take a few comments?
Sure.
Fernando from Arkadelphia, Arkansas.
Sounds like a...
Hey, do you guys see Victoria Ricaño on the latest Iron Chef America? She was one of the judges during Battle Melon, where Bobby Flair battled against a Spanish chef.
Battle Melon?
Yes.
That sounds really
anyway,
bad.
Victoria, if anybody doesn't know, used to be the anchor of ZDTV News, which later became Tech TV News, and she was an anchor on Tech TV News all the way until the bitter end. And then she went off to Inside Edition.
Was it? I thought it was Current Affairs.
Did she go to Current Affair first? She went to Inside Edition later.
She did one of those before. So.
Craig Monroe says, random question. What do you and Roger think of the movie Superman Returns and the recent news that they will reintroduce Superman? I've heard you say on Buzz Out Loud a long time ago that you would be interested in old Superman comics or something. I don't know. The bottom line is that I got the impression that you were a fan. What do you think? Personally, I hope a complete reboot will be done. No connections to the Donner universe. I like the old Chris Reeves movies. At the same time, I think they're overrated, and I don't like how they handled some things. Icy Krypton, Nerdy Clark, etc.
What's wrong with Icy Krypton? And it's crystalline. It's not necessarily ice.
Hey, crystalline Krypton's fine with me.
I think it adds that alien kind of cultural, you know, space that you need. Because you
I do hope they totally reboot Superman. Superman Returns, did not.
Well, that was essentially just a remake of Superman 1.
It was a remake of Superman 1, and it wasn't done as well.
It wasn't.
They blew it with Lois for me. Superman
because
was okay.
Because he has a kid now?
Not that because he has a kid, because Lois had black hair. She was a blonde who obviously dyed her hair black and just didn't look. I don't know. She wasn't Lois to me. She's a fine actress.
The story
wasn't
the right cast member for me.
What
bothered me was the story was just really lame all around. It was just wasn't really.
I actually really like Spacey as Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Actually, I think Lex Luthor would be a good villain, but not as Lex Luthor.
What? You mean Spacey would be a good villain? You said Lex Luthor would be a good villain,
as
Lex Luthor.
Spacey.
You mean Spacey would be a good. Okay.
I think Spacey, if you know, to come up with a character, because I think Lex Luthor needs to be a lot more intense, a lot more. Who played Lex Luthor back in the Christopher Reeve Superman?
Gene Hackman.
The way Gene Hackman.
Almost said Gene Wilder. That would have been a heck of a Lex Luthor.
I think Lex Luthor needs to be that kind of balls to the wall industrialist kind of persona, and I think being kind of slash con man slash property developer thing kind of not as threatening to me.
I think the plot could have used some spicing up. I liked Spacey. I was fine with him.
I think Spacey was fine.
Who played Superman? I don't remember the guy's name.
Brandon Ralph.
Thank you.
Yes.
He was fine. Yeah. Bring him back. Just don't bring Blue Special, whatever, Blue Water, Blue Crush lady.
Lois Lane. You didn't like Blue Crush?
No, I liked her in Blue Crush, actually. She's great in Blue Crush.
You mean the parts where they
don't make her Lois Lane?
Where they CG'd her on someone else's body?
That's fine. I don't mind that. It's not like it was pretending to be an authentic movie. Hey, guys, I was wondering about your opinion of the use of curse words in arguments. Several times over the history of your podcast, emotions got to the point where I don't recall Roger ever doing it. It's because the one time he did it, I edited it out. I don't recall Tom let fly an obscenity in frustration. Yes. Does this detract at all from an erudite argument, or is it like salt and pepper on the food, only making the meal better? I remember hearing as a kid that people who use bad words only use them because they aren't educated enough or smart enough to say it in a better way. What do you think? I use the quotes around curse words and obscenity because one man's curse word is another man's everyday adjective.
Well, it's interesting because I don't think it's necessarily curse words. I think it's when you just kind of yell, not necessarily an expletive, but a word. Say like, oh, that's baloney, or that's nothing but a bunch of horse
hooey.
You know what I mean? It's just like, versus like, that's a very misleading comment, Tom. Yeah. If you look at it,
Even non-curse words can be just as vapid as cursing.
Exactly.
If you say like, no, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what good is that? All of those things, all of those devices happen when you're getting frustrated and angry, and it's clouding your ability to form a more erudite argument. So I would say that all cursing does is point out the emotional level going on.
The emotional state.
I think it's fine to tell kids that, he said a curse word because he's not smart enough to think of something else if you don't want your kids to curse and discourage them, because it isn't intellectual, usually, to throw in a curse word. Although, if you're not angry, sometimes a curse word might be the appropriate thing to really nail what you're talking
about.
But
at the same time, I mean, you have to be careful because excessive use of it
Yeah.
will just totally...
Like anything else. Yeah, absolutely. just throwing around curse words because you can't think of anything else is a bad idea.
Yes.
But I am not one of those people who thinks that, that cursing is somehow, you know, indication of a shallow mind. Except maybe with the caveat of what you say. If that's all someone ever does, then it can be like anything else. Yeah. Like, do you really can't think of anything else to say?
Exactly.
So I guess I go with salt and pepper on food. Although, I tell you what, I totally respect people who do not like to hear curse words.
Actually,
and so
I do
that's
too.
Why I try not to use them unless I just, you know, lose it for a second.
Well, what I've discovered is the more you use it, the more you just have a tendency to kind of continue. It's like one of those snowball things. You let one fly, it just follows.
Well, it's also, and he points it out, one man's curse word is another man's adjective. It's not about curse words so much. It's about offending your audience. You're certainly not going to win anyone over if you offend them constantly, unless you're a shock jock, I suppose. But you know, if you're listening because you enjoy the topic that I'm talking about, I don't want you to stop listening because you heard me say something that offends you. Yeah. I guess if there's an opinion that offends you, then that's one thing. But if it's like, well, I like everything he's saying, except why does he have to use that word?
Well, I mean, I go with that. But I think more often than not, I mean, if you, like I said, if you excessively use it, it's how you gradate your emotional state, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, yeah, that's hooey, that's crap, and then you move up the chain. Once you start using an expletive excessively, I feel it loses its shock value. I think it loses its intensity because you just use it so often.
Well, and there's plenty of examples of things that were considered much worse years and years ago, but they start becoming more common.
Snafu?
It's a dirty acronym, but we don't think about it. Screwed is one, actually.
S-O-L.
Which is one my mom did not allow me to say that word. I was in trouble if I said that word. But now it just, I mean, it's still it's a minor swear word, but most people, they don't think about it. Yeah, nuts.
When people say nuts to that, and like back in the day, that was considered.
That could be a little a little racy.
Yes.
Yeah. Back, we had to avoid that one back in the 20s when we did East Meets West quite a bit.
Yeah, back during the speakeasy days.
Yeah, when we did the East Meets West from the speakeasy.
Yeah, you actually had to knock and you had to give a phrase.
To get the podcast.
Yes.
Not even just to record it.
And the podcast actually had to be shipped in containers.
Mm-hmm. It was, they were marked car parts, as I recall. And it was mostly the Chicago mob who trafficked our podcast back then.
Yes. They delivered it at the end of a 50 caliber bullet.
Now we use feed burner.
Much faster.
Yeah. All right, that's it for today. Thanks for listening, folks. If you would like to make comments, view other people's comments on this or previous episodes, go to subbrilliant.com/EMW.
EMW.
And you can buy our t-shirts in our shop. We don't have a shop.
We don't have t-shirts.
Make a t-shirt if you want on your own. Go to it.
Use BFTs.
And then send us a photo. All right, we'll see you later.
Bye.